Welcome to Fellowship Midweek, your weekly connection to the life and mission of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Skirbanis.
Welcome to the podcast. My name is Dan. This is Fellowship Talks. And my co-host, as always, is the brilliant Amy Skirbanis.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Fellowship Talks.
Amy, it's good to be here with you today doing another episode of Fellowship Talks. I was thinking back in April, we just led a class here on the Little Rock campus for D group leaders. And this is a class where for any new D group leaders or any current D group leaders or really just any D group leaders here in our body that are looking for a refresh in their group, can you tell everyone listening a little bit more about that class and what our hopes and dreams for that class are?
Yeah, we really want our new D group leaders to launch successfully. And so we want them to be grounded in our mission and our values that we hold up here at Fellowship. So we take a few weeks and we just walk through that with our new leaders, our current leaders, and just talk about what it looks like to lead a group in those mission and values.
That's right. Yeah. So our D group training class and our D group workbook really is around the mission and values of Fellowship, being grounded in those mission and values, in the mission of our church and making disciples, which is found in Matthew 28 and grounded there. But the three words that we hold up as our values, connection, transformation, and multiplication, just are key. And we want each D group to be grounded in those and to really know that mission and those values for themselves. And even here on this podcast, Amy, we want to do what we can to help share stories of things that are happening in our church wrapped around those values, connection, transformation, and multiplication. And we want to highlight those values and what God is doing in our church. And today we have a couple here with us just as we tell a story of what God has been doing in their lives to transform them. And we get to see a little insight into the transformation that's been happening in their lives.
Mm-hmm. So we have two of our D group leaders with us today. So I want to welcome James and Callie Van Pelt.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, so glad to have y'all here.
Callie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Dan. Thanks for asking.
good. Yeah, James and Callie are no strangers to many of you here at Fellowship. They've been involved. They lead a D group themselves. And they've been involved here at Fellowship for the last, 3 years?
Yeah, I think so.
3 years.
Yeah. Callie keeps track of all the record books in our family.
That's good. So why don't you guys start by just telling everybody how long you've been married?
We've been married for, it'll be 3 years in May.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of work do you guys do?
I'm a physical therapist with kids.
Yeah, and I work for Downline Ministries. I've worked there. I went through the Downline Institute 4 years ago and have been on staff the 3 years after.
Yeah.
So can you just tell, for people that might not know what Downline is, can you just tell us real shortly?
I'd love to. Yeah. We do a 9-month Bible and Discipleship Institute in the city. So all different folks from different churches across Little Rock commit to 9 months going deep in God's Word so that they can use it in reproducible ways to make disciples in their home, in the church, in the city. And so really we think of it as it's a training, discipleship training. So that people can use it.
Mm-hmm. And, I love how well that fits with the mission of our church.
Yeah, so it's been really cool. Every year we have, even this year too, a lot of Fellowship people that go through. And that's usually, really fun to be in the Downline year with them and to see them then use it in the church in different, like FSM, FSK, D groups and leading in different ways. So that's, from our end too, I get to be in on the Downline classes. Mm-hmm. And then I get to see the benefit and the investment that's made in the church afterwards, too. So it's pretty fun from my perspective.
Callie, what do you love about being a physical therapist for kids?
I just started in September, so I'm still figuring everything out. But they just keep you on your toes. You just never know what you're going to get that day from each kid. So every day is really, really different. But you get to know the families really well. And that's what's really fun is getting to build that relationship with their parents and with their siblings and helping each kid reach their full potential.
Yeah. Well, you guys have an incredible story of transformation, and it's incredible because it's not transformation that you've done on your own. It's Christ working in your lives, right? You guys haven't always been Christians, right?
That is correct, Dan. Yes. Yeah. Definitely not always. Yeah.
So how old were you when you guys became Christians?
Yeah. So I grew up in the church, grew up in Maumelle. And we were active. Our family was active in the church. But I, looking back, I definitely had a hard heart, because I can't tell you how many sermons I sat through, how many youth events I went to, how many games of ping pong in the youth room I played. But it was like the gospel never took root in my heart at all. So it made it really easy in high school and college, when then youth group is not the cool thing to do anymore, to punt any walk with Christ or any perceived walk with Christ, and just to live however I wanted to live. So later on, 21 is when it was a very clear start of a walk in a relationship with Jesus.
Callie, what about for you?
So I grew up with a Catholic background. So we went to church every Sunday, really small town. So there was no youth group. It was just, you went to church. I was the altar server. So church was very much so just a to-do list of ritual things that had to be done on Sunday. And so I knew what the gospel was, but to me, I kind of interpreted it in high school. It was, oh, cool. So Christ did this thing, so now I can do whatever I want, is kind of how I interpreted it for a long time. And it wasn't until I got to college where that changed.
So let's take a step back from when you guys met Christ and your relationship with him became real to when you guys met each other. Do you remember where you were when you met James for the first time?
I do.
Hughes Hall, right?
Yeah. I had a friend at Hughes Hall at UCA. And he said, let's go to James's room real quick. And so we went to James's room and just to
she
say
hi. Like two gigantic boxes of Reese's Puffs that I lived off of.
Yeah, our that freshman was the first year. Thing I said. I was, wow,
that hasn't changed. Yeah, that hasn't changed.
So that was it. You had a friend who said, let's go hang out in James's room.
Yeah.
All right.
We're both really good friends with the same person.
Yeah, I will say too, our really good friend, it's TM Pung's son. And so we really do. Every time someone asks how we met, we always say it was through T-Sun. Because we were mutual friends freshman year. We were involved with Greek life at UCA. So just at that point, everyone kind of gets to know each other. And so
as soon as she walked into your room, love at first sight.
I knew it. Right. I knew it from that point.
That is false.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us kind of what happened from there, how y'all started dating, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so we just hung out. We had mutual friends, similar friend groups, and really just at your typical freshman year college social scene, got to know each other through that. So not the most healthy avenue of getting to know each other, but we still got to know each other.
Yeah, so at this point, you're still neither of you are believers at this point, walking with the Lord. And so you've met and you start hanging out.
Yeah. And you could tell that we weren't believers just from if you just hung out with us for a week at UCA and on a weekend.
Yeah.
But we just became good friends and started texting, started talking.
Yeah. We weren't interested in each other at all for a really long time. Or for like a semester.
Like,
but
you speak for yourself. Oh my gosh.
But then I don't know when it changed, where we just started hanging out more seriously.
It's funny to think back on it now too, because it is very like typical young like college texting, flirting. At like one point, you just kind of like, as the guy, you never want to take initiative at all. So like maybe this will just like smoothly transition into a relationship and I don't have to do anything.
So how long did it take before it finally did transition to a relationship?
Yeah, I mean, it took, maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably 2 months of hanging out, dating before anything official.
But you definitely knew when the relationship was starting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We went Facebook official. It was very, it was very clear. Yeah.
So one thing that you guys we've talked about before that we just want to share a little bit today, and it's a little bit harder for you guys to share, just being vulnerable as people before other believers. But you guys were physically intimate before you were married, and you guys experienced some of that beforehand. Do you guys remember like how that came about?
Yeah, I mean, I would say as we started to date, the values that we had, and it's really on me taking the lead, and I just was not very worried about honoring God with our relationship. But of course I was, and I wasn't a believer. I had no reason to do that. More so, the norm of dating was that, you know, it's very self-fulfilling and we liked each other. And then the just normal thing to do was to get physically intimate. Mm-hmm. And that was just normal. I mean, it's just normal to, we were living in sin and so we sinned. And mm-hmm. so thinking back, that's just how it really just progressed as time went on. The door opened that we could get physically intimate, and really we just did.
Yeah. Callie, do you remember having like some kind of plan walking towards that, or was it really just something that happened with you guys weren't expecting?
Yeah. It's funny because I, all growing up and starting college, even though I wasn't a believer, I still had the intention of not being physically intimate until mm-hmm. I was married. I'm pretty sure I said that early on. But when you don't have the moral aspect that's keeping you accountable to that, mm-hmm. it was really hard to fight your flesh. So mm-hmm. we danced on that line for mm-hmm. a really long time, of just staying the night together. That was all it was. Mm-hmm. And when you dance on that line, it's really easy to cross that line. And that's kind of what I saw happen. It was just, we danced along that line for a real, really long time. And when you don't mm-hmm. have, you know, you don't have people keeping you accountable for mm-hmm. what you're doing. Like, my friends were all doing the same thing, so I didn't have someone speaking truth into me at that point. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was just really easy to cross that line.
Yeah, that's a great point, because mm-hmm. all of our friends, we didn't have any real positive Christian influence mm-hmm. telling us otherwise. More everything was encouraging us to, like, mm-hmm. all right, take that next step. Mm-hmm. And it was just all the small decisions and the small, like, hey, I'll stay over this mm-hmm. night. And then that turns into two nights. And mm-hmm. then it's just a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. And, like, mm-hmm. looking back, it was all those small decisions that led up to getting physically intimate. Mm-hmm. Which, thinking back just on me, is just, you know, something that I'll always regret.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think, too, with each of those steps, that we find ways to justify them?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we talk ourselves into, well, this is really not that bad. Mm-hmm. I'll just take one more step in this direction. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. without that relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit at work in our lives mm-hmm. and that accountability, like you said, it's just one more step.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. exactly right. Because I remember thinking, well, we've already done all this. Mm-hmm. Why not add X, Y, Z?
Yeah.
So it was mm-hmm. really easy to just keep mm-hmm. building on top of what was already happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is sinful logic and sinful mm-hmm. thoughts. Mm-hmm. And like, looking back, I can see it yeah. in the moment. Yeah, there's no way I saw that.
Mm-hmm. So how long were you guys dating like this, mm-hmm. living like this before you guys began to encounter Christ?
So we started dating sophomore year. So that was 2011, mm-hmm. fall 2011. And so it was the beginning of our sophomore year. And we really dated like this until the summer before our senior year.
So yeah, it was like 2 years.
So yeah, the point I want to try to make and just to come out is that mm-hmm. you guys lived this way for a long time.
Yeah.
For 2 years. This is, and it's hard to break away from this, even when you know it's right. Mm-hmm. So what did your first experience with Christ look like, or when did you start to, your views start to shift?
Yeah, well, I think it starts even before probably I met Callie. Well, I met a guy at UCA, his name's Matt Pace, and we just became really, really good friends. We met move-in day, and looking back at it now, it's funny. He's on STUMO staff at UCA, and he was in the freshman dorm move-in day, full beard. He's like, you know, looks 35. Like, who is this guy? We met in the hall at the hallway at Hughes Hall, and just became really good buddies. And he started to we started to hang out. He would get lunch together, and he'd share the gospel with me. And he was really the first time he clearly explained the gospel, and I knew at that point that I was rejecting the gospel by how I was mm-hmm. living. So that was really mm-hmm. helpful. I knew at that point, like, okay, something's off. Mm-hmm. I wasn't deceived into thinking that I was living a Christian life. I actually knew that, all right, I'm clearly not following Jesus in what I'm doing. So that started even before I met Callie. And then as time progressed, even while Callie and I were dating, Matt and I stayed really good friends. And he was, out of all influences, the greatest Christian influence and continued to pour into me and to share the gospel with me and challenge me to walk with Christ. And so he really wanted to encourage me in that way. And so I think as time went on, especially junior year, I started to feel convicted for the first time. My heart started to soften. I had tried out all these different things, trying to find fulfillment, trying to like find that thing that I was looking for. And again and again, it had fallen short. So at a certain point, I was thinking, maybe Matt's telling the truth. Maybe Matt's right. Maybe the gospel is what I need. And so at that point, I think that really started the snowball of getting, reading the Bible, understanding the gospel. And that really was the bud of our relationship taking a turn.
James, it's great just hearing your story. You know, I can really relate to that in a lot of ways. For me at the University of Arkansas, it was a woman on staff with Crusade who she pursued me my freshman year. And I can vividly remember telling her, hey, I'm already a Christian. Don't worry about me. Like, go talk to those other girls. And but she saw that I wasn't really walking with the Lord. And so that's ultimately, God used her in my life to turn my life towards him as well. So I love hearing just that. Those faithful campus ministers make such a difference in college students. Yeah.
So Callie, did you see God starting to work in James' life before he started working in your life?
Probably not.
Well, I did in a sense that, I kind of was aware of the gospel, but still just chose that I was going to live my life the way I wanted to live. And I had this guy I really liked and things were going fine. So I just didn't think I needed anything else. But like James says, when he started having those convictions for the first time, and I remember him coming to me and telling me he wanted to go to Kaleo, which was the student mobilization summer project. And I remember crying because I was like, couples don't go to this and not break up.
And survive.
Like, well, this is the end.
This was a breakup thing for couples, huh? Okay.
It was.
So then I decided to go because I had always wanted to go, but I was like, oh, I'll just stay here this summer and hang out with James. So really like the Lord leading him to go to this project, in turn led me to go to it. So not only the Holy Spirit, but also James leading our relationship in that way. Not that he asked me to go, but just his example that I got to see of his like, hey, this is important. I want to go do this and learn what it means to walk with God.
Yeah. So you guys went to this Kaleo experience. This is a trip that students from your school would take down to Florida, right? And spend pretty much the whole summer in Florida.
Yeah. We'd suffer for the gospel in Destin, Florida. And it really is. It's an awesome, it's an awesome thing. A lot of campus ministries do it, but it was huge, in our walk, how God used it, especially those times to get away from Conway, get away from Arkansas and just focus in on a relationship with him.
It was during this week, down in Destin, Florida, that you gave your life to Christ then?
Yeah. So when it comes to a day, I think it's June 21st, is like the day that I told Pace, hey, that invitation to follow Jesus that you've been, you know, pestering me with because, you know, you love me enough to pester me with it. I'm ready to follow him. So on my end, from my perspective, yeah, that was that day. Looking back now, there was a lot of softening of my heart that took place before I got to somewhere like that. So, but it was definitely that summer that was a huge turning point.
Same experience for you, Callie, same summer?
Yes, that same summer also. I think mine was July 21st, maybe, was when the girl with student mobilization, Allie Pace now, who's married to Matt Pace, when she baptized me, and that was kind of my symbol of, okay, the gospel is no longer what allows me to live however I want to live. The gospel is now what has washed me clean, and now I'm going to live a life of repentance in following him. So that was kind of my moment of, okay, this isn't, this is the real deal now. This is, this is what a life following Christ is. It's not just the sidebar anymore.
So what was that like? There's a month difference in there. So I assume you knew he had made that decision.
Yeah.
And so what was that month like for you guys?
Oh, we had a lot of conversations. And just like, I mean, it was just a weird summer of just if you take like before we left and when we got back, just like the 180 our relationship took. So we had a lot of conversations. I don't know, before we even went, I think Callie started to even have some of those convictions beforehand. Mm-hmm. So it just worked out really well how we went, and we were both in a place that, you know, our hearts were soft enough that a summer like that and some extended, and it's simple stuff. It was just, you know, for like the first time for me, reading the Bible, studying it in depth, having guys that were like being an example of following Jesus. And I can say like, wow, like that is the abundant life that they're talking about. Like I'm looking at Pace and just the joy and the intentionality that he has of making disciples on a college campus and then launching them out. And just, I think I'm so thankful for him and the investment that he made, because I'm number one, because I've benefited so greatly. God used him in such a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of those conversations you guys had at first? Because we want to make it clear that the important thing is your surrender to Christ, right? But our actions and the way we live follow suit with that surrender. And the way you guys were living before you went to Kaleo was not following that surrender, but all of a sudden over the summer you have this surrender to Christ. And then what do those conversations look like as you guys examined your life?
Yeah, so we were on the beach. I think we were just like swimming in the ocean, so it was a pretty good scenery to have a conversation like this. And then I can't remember how I had brought it up.
Yeah, I think you said like, I think we need to talk about how things are going to be when we go back home. Which for me,
that
I'm
sounds like
me.
Yeah.
Oh, is it about to break up with me?
Yeah. Well, then we just, from that point, tried to set up some boundaries and just some healthy accountability so that we knew that when we got back, we have these standards.
He's being very modest. James was much more forward about, we're not doing this anymore. We're not dancing the line anymore. So for me, that was very attractive to see he's setting the boundary and we're not getting, he doesn't want us to be just dancing on the line of the boundary. He wants us to be as far away from it as possible. Just that living a life above reproach is what he kind of established for us that day, and made it easier carrying forth, because we were both serious.
What
about
were some
it.
Of those boundaries that you put forward?
Yeah. So no staying the night together anymore. Like just removing that completely. Like we hang out during the day,
or no staying the night anymore. I mean, definitely the intimacy, like huge boundaries there, and just trying to, have purity back in our relationship, right? And just to have a God honoring relationship is what we wanted. So those conversations really just set up some good practical, measurable. Hey, I'm not gonna stay over. Like I'm just not gonna stay over with you, that helps. That makes sense. And like, I'm not going to stay over this, you know, past this time, and just putting some boundaries up and letting other guys know about it so that they can hold me accountable to it and ask me about it. So I needed those, right? I needed to have some measurable stuff that I could say.
Yeah, that was something you guys said at the beginning, what you had no accountability, right? But at this point in your life, now after your surrender to Christ, you began to open up your lives to have other people would be able to weigh in and speak into your lives too. And you're open to that now at this point. So how long from that point then until you guys got married?
We came back from Kaleo in July and then we got engaged that May.
We should have brought a calendar. We should have just brought a calendar.
That's right.
Or a scrapbook.
So really it was our entire senior year of this new style of dating that we hadn't done for the past 2 years. Which really, it was like, it makes me emotional every time I think about it. Just how sweet the Lord was to us in that whole year, of just protecting us, to be able to quit, sexual impurity, cold turkey isn't easy. So just his hand was really, on us during that time and just protecting our relationship. And you know, he didn't have to do that. He thankfully saved both of us that summer, but he didn't have to save our relationship, but he did. And that always just overwhelms me with just his love and his grace that he gave us during that time.
Amy, this is the mark of true transformation that Christ does in someone's life. When a life like James and Callie gives surrender over to Christ, God does something transforming in their lives, and they no longer want to walk the same way they've been walking before. Mm-hmm. And you guys really live that very well, and seeing that transformation. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy at all to be living a certain way and just to change because of who Christ is making you into. Mm-hmm. So you guys were married in what year? James, I'm looking at you because
2015.
All right, nice job.
Callie?
All right.
That's right.
2015, and that was really the start of your presence here at this church, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys were married and walked into this church. What was your first experience at Fellowship?
We came
when we were engaged.
Yep.
Yeah, when we were engaged, we started looking at, okay, where's our church home mm-hmm. going to be as a family together? And then we were drawn to Fellowship because of the mission statement, being that we both accepted Christ through campus ministries that are very discipleship based. Mm-hmm. Finding a church that was focused on discipleship was really important to us. So that's how we ended up here.
Is it when we came and visited, was it when Ben was preaching and they did the mission? It was like mission statement Sunday. Was that the time we visited? I think one of the first exposures we came is when the sermon was, it was either launching the new mission statement or focusing on it for some reason. Hmm. I just remember looking over at Callie and being like, yeah, that's it. Because the first two words are making disciples.
Yeah, we're in.
So at that point, we're like, all right, this is great. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So since being here at Fellowship for the last 3 years, how else have you seen God continue to transform your lives?
Yeah, so transitioning off a college campus following Christ and into, you know, marriage and career. And it's just a hard transition.
So understatement.
Very understatement. It's a semi-hard transition. And coming into Fellowship, I think the growth that we've experienced the most, of course, the preaching, the teaching, and the Bible, how highly it's held, has been one of the things that we enjoy the most. But that's, you know, big picture type stuff for our relationship. What drew us to Fellowship is that those that we were discipled by spoke very highly of the church in Little Rock. And when we were in Little Rock, we wanted to get here. Mm-hmm. And that drew us the mission statement. What's sustained us and encouraged us and transformed us the most is just the relationships and the community that we've been a part of. Mm. So we've gotten to be in a 1D group before the one we're leading now, where these two great leaders led our young married D group. And so I think that being in community with them and their intentionality to lead us and to actually see people following Jesus not on a college campus and see how the context changes and how you can do it well with your family and in your workplace and in the community and do it in different creative ways, I think it's really helped transform us and grow us to be disciples, not on a college campus, but in Little Rock working.
I'm curious, who were those D group leaders?
Amy, I'm so glad you're home. It was Dan and Emily Schaefer.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it
boy.
Was Dan and Emily Schaefer.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten to watch from afar as they led your group, and then you all launched out and started leading as well. And it's just been neat to see how their investment in you guys is producing that multiplying effect of making disciples in others. Mm-hmm. So just have to brag on Dan a minute.
Yeah.
And Emily.
Callie, how have you seen God transform your life in the last couple of years?
Yeah. So we were at Fellowship, obviously, when we got married. And that our first year of marriage was hard. Being married wasn't easy like I thought it was going to be. I just felt like I felt like I was very aware of my sins in a new way because I'm now living with this man. I'm just these new roles of husband and wife that I've never done before. And so it just opened my eyes to areas of selfishness and where I wanted to be, you know, on my own throne in all these different areas instead of either letting Christ lead me or not letting James lead me as my husband. So it was I had a lot to learn in that first year of marriage. And Fellowship is really what helped me through it, especially Emily Schaefer. Mm. I've got to call her out again. just watching how she interacts with you, Dan. Y'all welcomed us into your home so many times. And just seeing how she always shows grace and love to her children, to her husband, and to her friends. And so just watching her example was huge for me in that mm-hmm. first year of marriage. And even today, I still learn so much from Emily every time we meet. So that's been very transforming to me. Not only, of course, the teachings on Sunday and getting into the Word, but having that relationship with someone where you can watch them do life and learn from them.
Yeah. I do think that's one of the beautiful things about the way that we do life here in our D group communities is you really have that opportunity to see someone who's been walking with the Lord model that for you in a way that you can really catch a vision for what it looks like to follow Christ. Mm-hmm. And I know that was for us very formative in our early years too. Mm-hmm. Same thing. We had D group leaders, Mike and Star Boschetti, who poured into us. And I just still to this day just want to cry thinking about how differently our lives would look had it not been for God placing them in our life and just how much we need other people.
Yeah. Well, I just really think about one of our values here at the church is transformation. I'm becoming like Jesus in attitude and action. And there's many stories all around our church about transformation and what God is doing in people's lives. James and Callie, thank you for coming and sitting down with us here in studio and sharing your story of transformation and how God has brought you to a place of becoming more like Jesus in attitude and action. It's been good to be with you guys today. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Midweek. Our desire is that this podcast would help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.